Can a pestilence serve for the good of a nation? Can such a plague on a pandemic scale offer anything of worth, and that by God's sovereign design? The answer to these questions lie in the fact that it is a yes. It is a yes. And it's called repentance. Repentance. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, this is what the Word of God says to us. God speaking to Solomon. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Notice that. If I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You see what the Lord is saying to Solomon. God's people, of course, God's covenant people, the nation of Israel. Now, we acknowledge that not every single individual in the nation of Israel among God's covenant nation were saved. Not necessarily everyone was saved. But as God's covenant people, they knew what the Lord expected of them. And as Christians, we also know what's expected of us. When God's people encounter even pestilence, plagues, pandemics, and if God calls us to humble ourselves, to repent, to turn to Him, He will forgive our sin. When we do turn to Him, and He will heal our land, He will respond accordingly. Now, this matter of repentance by God's people is exemplified by King David, even in times of such pestilence, such plagues, as we see it in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. In verse 1 it says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the princes of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word that I may know their number.' Joab said, 'May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why does my lord seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel?' Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Joab gave the number of the census of all the people to David. And all Israel were, in the text in Chronicles, it says, 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah was 470,000 men who drew the sword. But it did not number Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's command was abhorrent to Joab." Now, the word of God next says this: God was displeased with this thing, so he struck Israel. The very thing that David did was evil in the sight of the Lord. God was displeased with this thing. So it doesn't say he struck David. He struck the whole nation. He struck Israel. Now first, we notice the sin. In verses 1 to 6, we notice the sin. And as a biblical principle, and I've got a number of them in our Bible study here, God fairly disciplines people when they sin. That's the principle we get from what we just read in the first 7 verses. God fairly, justly disciplines people when they sin, and he even uses the devil to judge them. He even used the devil in this case to judge his own nation, Israel. So the sin is described in the first 6 verses, and then in verse 7, we read of the judgment of discipline. The judgment of discipline. Because the sin leads to the discipline by God. And then verse 8 says, "David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.'" Now, it is very probable that verses 7 and 8 are a summary heads up of what comes later in verses 9 to 13, because then we see how the Lord is judging, disciplining his own nation Israel for the sin of its leader, King David. It was a sin of pride. David wanted to know how many fighting men does he have. But then, of course, Joab realized he should not do so. Why? Because the Lord is the one who fights on behalf of his people. And David did not need to know the strength of his army, so to speak. So it was a sin of pride. That's the thing we know. That much we know. He didn't listen to his commander-in-chief, Joab. And of course, he brought this righteous judgment on his own nation. And of course, he pleads with God. He says, I have sinned greatly. Don't miss the emphasis of the adverb, greatly. In that I have done this thing. But now please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And now, as of verse 9, we will see as to how this thing happened, the judgment of God and the subsequent repentance of David. The Lord said to Gad, David's seer, the prophet of God, in verse 9, saying, go and speak to David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do. Basically, after the sin in the first six verses, after the judgment of discipline in verse 7, now we have David's confession in verse 8 and the options of discipline. Now, this is not a biblical truth for every time, because in this case, God gives David the options. He says, look, you've got three options. Choose one of them. And God has a purpose behind that. God could have just gone ahead and judged David and the nation for the sin of David as its leader. And that tells us that if our leaders do things wrong before God, God may choose to judge not just the individual, but the leaders themselves. And David, he's a man of God. He's not a stranger to the word of God. But yet, he sinned in his pride, and the Lord not only judges him for his sin, but judges or disciplines the entire nation. And remember, God loves his children, and he will discipline them so that they may conform to his righteousness. That's what the word of God says in Hebrews 12. So God offers the choice of discipline to David in verse 13. He says, you have your options. In verse 10, he mentions that three things, and we'll see now in a moment. In verse 13, he gives them the choice of discipline. But the options of discipline are mentioned in verses 9 to 12. So the Lord says, you got three things I'm offering. Choose for yourself one of them, verse 10, which I will do to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, take for yourself either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land. And the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now therefore consider what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. Now, we said earlier, a biblical principle is that God fairly disciplines people when they sin. And he even uses the devil to judge them. And number two, as per verses 9 to 13, God may use different forms of discipline for sin, including a plague or a pandemic. We see that because he offers the matter of pestilence in the land. And the angel of the Lord will be involved in that. He's going to go about destroying throughout all the territory of Israel as the pestilence is used by God to promote righteousness back again in the heart of David and his co-servant leaders. And God's discipline, as a third principle, is always a matter of grace. It's always a matter of grace. Why? Because it's designed to bring genuine repentance in people. You know, God never does anything because his name was dishonored and that's it. That's not the God of the Bible. When he repays, it is for his glory and also for our good, so that we may learn to obey him, so that we may learn to walk with him properly. So the Lord tells David, either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be swept away before your foes. And by the way, the famine could have also been caused by enemies. Why enemy invading armies? Sometimes they could have attacked and, you know, ransacked, destroyed the land, and then a famine would strike the land, and then the people would suffer because of that. And of course, direct attack of enemies with the sword is another way that the Lord may use in order to discipline his people. But third, there was that direct work of God by sending the angel of the Lord and making use of pestilence throughout the land. And that's why David says in verse 13, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man, not the sword, and not even the famine, Lord. I'll fall in your hands. That's fine. Option number three, that's what David chooses. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. This is where we see the execution of discipline. The execution of discipline. And the discipline itself is not yet fully described to us until verse 15. Because the discipline of God is more comprehensive than what we just saw in verse 14. Because it says in verse 15, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw and was sorry over the calamity and said to the destroying angel, it is enough. Now relax your hand. Why? Because he wanted to continue through the pestilence to destroy all of Jerusalem as well, including. And God, not because he didn't know what he was doing, that's why the word of God says he was sorry. No, it's not like the sorry that we are, we show. No, that's not God's way of sorry. God's way of sorry is his way of showing compassion to us. And that's his choice. He could have let the angel continue to do the work until each and every one of them were destroyed, if that's what God wanted to accomplish. But no, in this case, he says enough is enough. Again, when God shows compassion and mercy, it is not because he did not know what he was doing from the get-go. He did not change his mind. He sees our suffering, and even he is merciful and compassionate to lessen our burden, to lessen our suffering, even though we deserved every single ounce of that suffering until the very end. And God says to the angel of the Lord, enough, relax your hand. And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Another biblical principle that we shouldn't miss from verse 13 is this. God's discipline for our sin is preferable than any other form of human judgment. God's discipline for our sin is preferable than any other form of human judgment. And David knew this. He knows because he says in verse 13, for his mercies are very great. And indeed, the Lord showed his mercy greatly in verse 15. That's why he said to the angel of the Lord, stop, relax your hand, stop. And then verse 16, David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven with his drawn sword in his hand outstretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, covered with sackcloth, fell on their faces. David said to God, is it not I who commanded to count the people? Indeed, I am the one who has sinned and done very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done, O Lord my God? Please let your hand be against me and my father's household, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. You see, David demonstrates the caring heart of a true shepherd, a true leader of his nation. Yet at the same time, his choices affect the rest of the nation. Imagine what would happen if the nation came to know that indeed David had his army counted. And then the nation would think, you know what, this is not a bad thing to do. God is not displeased, as long as God did not respond. But God does respond in our story. And he responds with three different options, and David chooses the way of pestilence, and God works even through pestilence. He speaks through even pestilence. And if we think that God is not speaking to us through the coronavirus, we are mistaken greatly. God is speaking to everyone. But yet, how are we doing, even as God's people? How are we responding in this time? Are we becoming more Christ-like in our walk with Him? Is our fear of coronavirus increasing? Or is our fear of the Lord who controls the virus? And because of His sovereign design, He has ordained this virus to spread throughout the world because He has purpose. And the basic bottom line purpose is for everyone to come to Him, to repent. For everyone, I mean, for those who are not saved, to consider the claims of the gospel and to turn to Christ. For us, who are His children, like David, to stop sinning. To stop sinning. Not to do anything which displeases God. Because eventually, whatever we do to displease God, it will come back to bite us, as David discovered in this chapter. Verse 17, David said, "Lord, it's me. Judge me. Judge my household, not your people, that they should be plagued. They don't deserve this, Lord." Another principle that we discover from verses 14 and 15 is that God's discipline is always compassionate and balanced. God's discipline is always compassionate and balanced. He knows when to stop. He knows when to start. He knows when to stop. He's not like us. And then, lastly, as we look at verses 18 to the last portion of the chapter up to verse 30, we see God's discipline is meant to lead us back to worshiping Him. God's discipline is meant to lead us back to worshiping Him. That's what happens with David. As of verse 18, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad, the seer, the prophet, to say to David that David should go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he spoke in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. And Ornan was threshing wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out from the threshing floor and prostrated himself before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, 'Give me the site of this threshing floor that I may build on it an altar to the Lord.'" An altar to the Lord represents a place to worship God. And that basically is what God had desired from him, because the angel of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord, told David that he should go up in verse 18 and build an altar to the Lord on that specific site, on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Obedience matters to the word of the Lord. Then David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of this threshing floor," verse 22, "that I may build on it an altar to the Lord. For the full price you shall give it to me, that the plague may be restrained from the people." You see, part of the solution is that God's people should return to full worship. That is, God is still allowing for this pestilence to continue until His people learn how to properly worship Him. Yes, He had told the angel to stop it, but the angel is still around, and he will not go until David fulfills every last detail of what the Lord is asking of him regarding his worship. And it's the same with us as God's people. Think about it. As a child of God, why are the virus still around? Is it because people, scientists, researchers have not yet found the cure? Or is it because God still has for us lessons to be learned? As someone who doesn't know the Lord, maybe you may mock what we're saying, scoff at what we're saying. But know this, you need to repent and to come to Christ, even now. God is using this opportunity as a thunderclap to wake you up so that you will realize that your soul, your eternal soul, is important. That you need to turn to Christ in repentance from your sins. If a child of God like King David needed to repent to avoid the pestilence and the judgment of God, the righteous judgment of God, how much more you? How much more you? So don't despise the merciful act of God, even when He uses, when He allows, when He ordains, when He permits such a judgment as the coronavirus. It is a judgment of God. It's because of our sinfulness that these things happen. These viruses happen, illnesses happen, diseases happen, death happens. It's because of our sinfulness. All creation was cursed when Adam and Eve fell in sin. It's not a myth. It's truth. It's the Word of God. And because of that, people suffer. Because of that, all these kinds of diseases come upon us. All these kinds of viruses we experience. It doesn't matter who came up with this. In China, in Canada, wherever it is. What we know, God allowed it. He's sovereign over it. And He has a purpose for it in your life and in my life. So don't lose that opportunity. He's speaking to you. Listen to His voice and turn to Christ in repentance. And He will forgive you all your sins. David too, he should not waste this opportunity. And he learned his lesson well. He could have rebelled against God. He could have said, Lord, I've served you for so many years. I've done so much for you. What is this one sin? What is this one sin? All I wanted is to number my soldiers. Other countries do that too, right? But you're not in another country. You are God's people. You walk according to the Lord's directives. And you trust the Lord. So David knew this. He did not have to sin in pride, but he sinned and he learned his lesson. He repented of it. Sackcloth, as we read earlier, is a demonstration, not just by David, but also by his own servant leaders, the elders, verse 16. David and the elders covered with sackcloth fell on their faces. That's a sign of true repentance before God. David says to Ornan, give me that. Give me that land. Give me that threshing floor so that I will build an altar to the Lord in worship of the Lord. As the Lord directed Gad through the angel of the Lord for David to do. And then Ornan said to David in verse 23, take it for yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his sight. See, I will give the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing sledges for wood and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all. But King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord or offer a burnt offering which costs me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. Then David built an altar to the Lord there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And he called to the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. The Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword back in its sheath. Now the work of the angel of the Lord is done. Now the pestilence is fully gone. But it didn't happen until David learned how to confess his sin, repent before the Lord, along with his leaders, and how to worship God again in the way God desires of him and of us to worship the Lord. So never say that a pestilence is pointless. What is the value of it? There's so much that we learn of these times. There's so much we learn from the Word of God, even from the life of a child of God, as it is the case of David, where a pestilence was the just recompense for his own sin. And what do we know? Maybe, and I'm not going to try to say it is so. Maybe, let's put it that way. Maybe it is because of our sin over all the world that God has sent this virus at this time. It's a pandemic, right? It's not just located in one place. So that we will all take notice of what God is requiring of us. So don't point the finger to someone else. Just think of yourself. I'll think of myself. So make sure you and I are right before God through confession of sin and repentance in the name of Jesus Christ by faith in Him alone. There's no other way to be saved, the Bible says. One name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No one can come to the Father but only through Him. The Lord commanded the angel, verse 27, and he put back his sword in its sheath. At that time, of course, the sword of the angel also had to do, as we said, to the pestilence. The pestilence is related to his sword. That's what he was doing. Killing people through the pestilence. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he offered sacrifice there for the tabernacle of the Lord which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offering were in the high place at Gibeon at that time. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was terrified by the sword of the angel of the Lord. And it's a good fear. The fear of the Lord is the fear that drives away every other fear. If we fear the Lord, we will not fear anything. We do our part in maintaining our health and keeping each other healthy and keeping an eye on others so that they will also remain healthy. Praying for our people, praying for our government. May God bless them at this time even more for the efforts that they are exerting to keep us healthy and safe. Yet at the same time, we need to remember, it's not just about the health of our bodies that God is primarily concerned with, but more importantly, the health of our souls, our spirits before Him. The leaders repented. And then the key leader, David, obeyed God and he offered a sacrifice unto the Lord so that the Lord would be pleased and so that the plague, the pestilence, would be gone away. And it did go away. In conclusion, to remind ourselves of what we read earlier at the outset of this Bible study from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we say it again. God told Solomon this: if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, you see that God is sovereign over the rain, over the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence even among my people. If God does, among His people, what about the rest of the world? Of course, He could do the same if He wants to. But there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for the pestilence. And the purpose is this: so that my people who are called by my name, that they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then the Lord assures us He will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and He will heal our land. May we be faithful to our part, knowing that God is faithful to His part, and He will heal, He will forgive, He will remove the pestilence as long as God's people do their part. Let's do our part. Let's not think about the people who are still unsaved. Let's think about ourselves. Are we doing our part before the Lord in making things easier and better in our community? Not just for the purposes of the physical health of our people around us, but also for their spiritual needs. May we do that for the glory of Christ. In His name, amen.